Well, good evening. As always, it's good to be with you, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And for a few moments, I'm going to talk about tithing. Just for a few moments. Tithing that you've never heard before. A friend of mine by the name of Zenas Thomas, I ran into him into Tractor Supply one day, and he had shared something with me. And he said, "I'm going to start tithing something I've never tithed before." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to start tithing my cell phone. I'm going to start tithing my cell phone." What that means is I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to leave it in the car. I'm not going to take it into church. Now, I'm not suggesting you turn yours off or leave yours in the car. But I thought, what a wonderful thing to get rid of one more distraction that the devil can't ring. My family knows that if they need to reach me, they can call Robert. Now, Robert's not going to be the switchboard operator, but if there's an emergency on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night, they know where we're going to be at. And if we're not here, we're home sick or there's some kind of family matter. So I just wanted to share that with you just briefly. I know we're so connected to cell phones, and we can't do without being connected to the world. But that's one thing we can do without while God's Word is being broadcast to us by whoever's bringing it. About a year ago, I'll tell you a little story. About a year ago, I brought you a story. I thought it was a pretty funny story. Peggy Croft thought it was a pretty funny story. It was about when Joy wanted to go to Nashville, Tennessee to see the Rockettes, and it was her birthday. And as I'm just going to hit the highlights on this first part of the story, And that was that the condition was I had to be able to go to Gary Henneke's church because I love his preaching so much. I wanted to go and be in the church and listen to him and just be in that wonderful sanctuary. So we did. And so happens I was listening to his preaching while going down the road early that morning and began to feel the heat of the fire, which I thought might be the Holy Spirit, and come to find out it was a can of mace that had leaked on my MP3 player. And what a mess I had going down the road. There was a second part of that story, excuse me, there's a second part of that story that you did not hear, most of you have not heard, and we had gotten to Nashville, and I had already spoken to Gary Henneke several times, Brother Gary several times, that we were coming, and there were some plans in place that we would have lunch together, and so we were preparing for that, and we got to the church, and they have a wonderful church. It just so happened that morning that it was a very busy morning. There were several baptisms going on. We didn't get to hear the choir. But as we walked in, and I met one of the ushers, and I said, "You know, my name is Dennis Johnson. I'm from Dublin First Church of the Nazarene. This is my family. Is Brother Gary anywhere close by?" And the lady immediately jumped into action. I thought, wow, we could take some notes from these folks. She jumped into action. She said, "Brother Dennis, he's down with the pastors, and they're having prayer. Let me take you down there to him right now." I thought, no. I said, I'll catch up with him later. It's okay. No, if you want, I'll go find him for you. I said, no, it's okay. We'll just go on into the sanctuary and sit down, and we'll, you know, start the service, join the service. She said, okay, I'll make sure he knows you're here. I thought, wow, I wonder how many other visitors that come in here. This is great. Everybody comes in, the pastor knows, and they're special. I felt pretty good. Well, we had sat down like we always do. I wanted to sit near the front, and Joy said, "Not quite that close. I want to sit a little further back." So we did. And we had a good bird's eye view. About where you guys were sitting that far back. Too close for her, but it was good for me. And the service went on, and they had several baptisms, and it was a great service. We met several people around us, and we were just enjoying the fellowship and the service. And it came near the end of the service, and I had got to hear Gary Allen Henneke in person. Wow, he was great. Enjoyed it. First time I'd gotten to meet him. And at the end of the service, he stepped out after the service was over, and he said, "We have a special guest here. Special guest." He said, "Dr. Dennis Johnson and his wife, the former district superintendent of Tennessee Church of the Nazarene, is here with us. Brother Dennis, where are you at?" Are you up in the balcony? My wife looked at me, and I looked at her. And she was hoping and praying that I wouldn't get up and say, Brother Gary? And my son was just looking on intently, wondering what I was going to do. And Joy will tell you that at that time, she said, I think you were speechless. And I was evaluating in my mind whether I should say anything or not. The man behind me and the lady in front of us were just giggling because they already knew who we were. And the man behind me said, Brother, you have just been elevated. I talked to Brother Gary just briefly after the service and just wanted to shake his hand and told him, I said, Brother Gary, our time is running short. We're not going to be able to eat lunch with you. He said, Well, I'm sorry. We had already made some other plans. I said, okay. Well, enjoyed your service, and they had to rush off. He had something else going on. And I pondered about that thing. I was going, we already had plans, and I would have expected a different comment from him. When I got home, I sent him an email back, and it explained to him the situation and what had happened and told him about the mace and all that. And he sent me back an email, and he said, oh my, now I understand. He said, Ray Dean and I, that's his wife, said, Ray Dean and I were looking for Brother Dennis, and we knew he was there. We'd been told he was there. And we wanted to go out for lunch with him, and we had already made plans. That's why we didn't go out with you. And it was just a big, big hoot. And needless to say, we laughed about it, and I talked with him down at the camp, and we had a good time. But does that kind of stuff ever happen to you? Not that bad. It was something. It was something. So I thought, like Paul Harvey said, now you've heard the rest of the story, and it was pretty interesting. Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to make sure we get on the right chapter and verse tonight. We're over in John chapter 13, and tonight I'm working what I would say without a net. The Lord gave me the first part and a piece on the end and nothing in the middle. So tonight I'm walking on the water, and as long as I keep my eyes on Him, we'll be okay. John chapter 13. I'm also going to try to read out of my Bible. I've got these glasses on, so if I start failing here, I'll pull out some paper with some larger print on it. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin, and began to wash His disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not, now not, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. No part with me. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is cleansed every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye doing them. Flipping over to Luke 22, there's two verses I want to continue on with this. It says in Luke 22, verses 23 and 24, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Let's pray. Father, this evening, Lord, you've asked me to step out on faith, and I have done so. So, Lord, I pray this evening that you would bless the reading of your word, and Lord, that you would help fill in the gaps and fill my mind with the things of God that you would have me to tell your people. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two things as I begin to look at these verses. One, Jesus becomes a servant. And I had titled, if you could put a title to this message, I would say, you can learn a lot by sitting around the supper table. I know at our house, when all our family comes in and everybody gets around the table, there are lots of conversations going on. There's conversation over here, might be talking about the kids or something else, and there's many conversations going on. But the conversation that was going on as they gathered around the table that evening was the conversation of who among us will be the greatest. Christ is about to establish His kingdom, and we're going to be part of it. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be second? Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus, I can imagine in my mind as He's sitting there just taking in all the disciples and what they're doing. I can just imagine Him in my mind, this is Dennis's version, going, they've completely missed it. So what does He do? He gets up and He does what you would typically find in that day and time that the lowest one in the house would do, would be the household servant. What He basically did was He took off His outer garment. And you could put it this way, in modern terms, He basically stripped down to His underwear. Here Jesus was, as His disciples bickering. And they had to be whining, because you know how it is when you think you're the greatest, or you're trying to figure something out, or you want to be on top, and you're debating with somebody else maybe why you should be there, why you should be number one. But Jesus, in His great love, was showing them that to be a great leader, you have to be a servant. He humbled Himself. They had not seen what Christ was going to do for them yet, and they didn't understand it. But here Christ was, humbling Himself before them, and began to wash the disciples' feet. I'm only going to pick one person in the congregation, because I could go on and on and on about the servanthood or servantness of the great servantness of this church and these people here, you do behind the scenes work. But if I started talking about more than one person, I'd talk about everybody in the pews. And Pastor Wise, since you're the head of the church, I'm going to pick on you and Sister Betty. If you're very observant, when we have meals and we have congregational gatherings and the food is placed on the tables, if at any time it looks as though there's not going to be enough food, let me tell you what our pastor's going to do, because I watch him. I watch a lot of things that happen around here. He and Sister Betty will begin to lag back. And brother, I know this is probably going to embarrass you a little bit. You're a humble man, but it's the truth. They will begin to lag back, and they will allow each of us to go through the line. And if you watch them, if the food is still running a little bit on the slim side, they won't get very much. They may not eat at all. Now, I'm not running for anything, any kind of committee chairman or anything like that. I'm just telling you what I observe. He's a good, godly man. He has learned what it is about being a servant of the Master. He's learned from the example. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. There's a lot of servants in this church. As a matter of fact, if the people in this church would not fit in with the disciples around the table, and you may say, well, wait a minute, now that may be a little bit of offensive. Because we're not worried about who's going to be number one. If you want to find out real quick, you start up a committee and get a volunteer. There's nobody going to raise their hand very often. You've got to convince somebody to do something, or they have to be led by the Lord. There's nobody running over anybody to take charge around here. Now, I could be wrong, but I believe that. But you ask somebody to help, and they'll help. They just don't want to be the chief. They'll be an Indian, but they don't want to be the chief. Jesus gave us a great example of how we should serve. And He says in His verses, in His Word, He says, happy are you. Happy are you that basically learned this. I don't know about you, but I'm happy being a servant of God. I love serving. As a matter of fact, and I've told this before, when I grew up, my dad would get my mama to go get him a glass of tea. Now, I'm fixing to step on somebody's toes, I know, so I'll be real delicate about it. My dad would ask my mom, could you go get me a glass of tea? And my mom, having a servant attitude, would be glad and happy to go get it for him. Well, see, I learned something as a child because I've always been an observer. I always watch what's happening, or I like to say I do. I said, you know what? I'm never going to be that way. I'm never going to inflict what I want for somebody to go get for me. And I have done it to the point where it may actually be a fault because I'm very independent. I love to serve. I don't look for the glory and stuff. Not for me, for Him. Not for me, but for Him. I'd like to stay behind the scenes. That's where my heart's at. That's where I'm happy at. I don't really enjoy it. Now, if you see me up here talking or doing something, you're thinking, well, you kind of like limelight a little bit. Well, that's just my personality. I'd just as soon be sitting back here in the back. I really would. I want to have the kind of life that Christ showed, the servant attitude. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be doing. A servant attitude. There's another part of this message, and it's about the foot washing. I have never, ever been in a church service that's done a foot washing. Now, you folks may have. And if you have, I bet it was a blessing. You want to know how you probably kill a service at Dublin First Church and any other church? You announce Sunday morning that next Sunday morning we're going to have a foot washing. We're going to have a foot washing. You'll kill a service. And if you announce it in the morning service when everybody was here and just before we're getting ready to the worship time, well, all of a sudden you'd be trying to make that cell phone ring. I got a call. I've got to step out. I've got an emergency because you forgot to cut your toenails last night. And you ladies are going, I hope they don't wash my husband's feet because his toenails are that long. No, that's probably not true, is it? Well, you ladies would be just as bad because you had a chip on your toenail and you needed to get some polish on it and you was hoping you wouldn't have a foot washing either. You can't be prepared for a foot washing. But I'd still like to have one for the right reason. Never had foot washing. Matter of fact, that probably if Pastor Wise was heading up a foot washing, we'd probably have to get one of those little masks because some of our feet don't smell as good as others. Mine being one of them. We resist the foot washing. We resist it. What was the purpose of the foot washing? Act of humility. In those days and in those times, if you went around, you would see pots of water sitting at houses because they would wear sandals and they'd be traveling along the ground. and their feet would be nasty. I don't know what kind of shears they had, but they didn't have toenail clippers like we do. I expect their feet looked pretty rough. Matter of fact, their feet were probably the dirtiest part of their body. I remember as a little fella, Davis is back here, remember as well, where there were cotton fields behind our house and behind their house, and I'd just as soon be out there playing in that cotton field like any other kid, just having a good time and playing in the dirt. And when I came home, even if I had on socks, my feet were nasty. And you always had to wash your feet and get cleaned up before you go to bed. Have you ever gotten to bed with nasty feet? Just one grain of sand. Have you ever got one grain of sand in the bottom of the bed? Just continue to kick at it and try to get it out of the way because it's just annoying. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you're not understanding what I'm doing for you right now, but you will later. And I pondered about the foot washing, and I pondered about it, and what would the Lord have me to tell you about it? And he also tells the disciples, he said, you're clean, most of you. But he was talking about Judas Iscariot. But still, the foot washing needed to occur. The foot washing needs to occur today for a real simple reason. The feet are the things that take you from place to place. The feet are the things that touch the ground. The feet are the things that carry you around and work and all the different places that you go. And they symbolize the picking up of dirt and dust and things. And we're holiness people, right? We're clean through and through, right? If you've been saved and sanctified, holiness unto the Lord. Do you know you pick up stuff every day? Do you know stuff clings to your body every day? It does. It really does. Well, it's not something that you just pick up and put on you. Just being part of the world, it just has a tendency to stick to you. I went to lunch the other day. It's up in Macon. And there was a guy came up next to me. Now, I have nothing against tattoos if you want one. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm not going to have one. And if I come in here one day with one, you're going to find out that either it's not me or something drastic has happened. And you need to get me somewhere right away. I'm just not going to have one. I just don't want one. I was getting ready. I got in line and I had requested my food and had ordered it and was rushing to try to get back to work. And I glanced over at a man's arm and there was lines and lines and going everywhere. And I began to look up the lines and all of a sudden I went, oh my. There was a naked lady drawn on his arm. There it was. And she had see-through stuff on. And that image shocked me and stuck in my head. I can still see it. Went home that afternoon. Tattoo. Image. Filthiness. Worldliness. My feet had touched that place and it cling to me. Well, you say, well, aren't you saved and sanctified? Absolutely. And I've talked to you about the helmet of salvation before, but it doesn't protect my eyes. Things come in through your eyes and through your ears. And if you touch something you're not supposed to touch and you realize that you've already touched it, it's there. Nastiness of the world comes in every day. And we take it with us. I was at a restaurant again, rushing to get something to eat. And there were a group of men sitting there. They were construction workers, housing workers. And some of you men know how men are. A young lady walked by. And here they go. They were mumbling stuff, and I was trying not to listen to them, but I knew what they were saying. Watching her all the way out to the car, making little accusations and stuff like that. I didn't take part in that. I just happened to be there. Some lust Now I've got more stuff on me. Don't want it. Don't care for it. There was a married couple that I know that you don't know, and another man that you don't know, that don't live here, nowhere around here. There are things going on between them that don't look good. Maybe they're innocent. Maybe they're not. I heard about it. Been praying about it for them. Those things stick in my mind. Flirtation. You ever do any flirting around? Better be careful. You ever watch somebody else flirting around? Better be careful. That stuff sticks in your mind. Can't get it off your mind. Once it's in there, it's there. Looking pretty good right now, aren't I? I don't know if you watch much TV. TV's changed a lot. I don't know if you've got a computer, get on the internet. If you click on the wrong thing, you're in trouble in a hurry. You can't close them fast enough. Once that image is in your mind, guess what? It's there. There it is. Some type of temptation, you might call it. You might call it sin. I didn't mean to see it. I didn't go looking for it. I'm not going looking for it. I don't want to see it ever again. Bam! It's already there. Oh, don't mention all the commercials and stuff, pornography. Don't mention how many men in this country are addicted to pornography. Because they've got on their computer when nobody was watching. You don't have to take part of it. All you have to see is that one picture. I remember as a younger man, in the stores, the pornography and the books, they'd be on the shelves and they had a cover over them so you couldn't see them. You knew that's what they were. Nowadays, they don't even really put that cover on it. They just kind of cover it up a little bit. The world is sticking to us. More and more every day. You know, sanctification and being saved, and probably if I was a long-time Nazarene like some of you, there probably used to be a whole lot preached on cleanliness. I don't hear that much anymore. Cleanliness. We are beginning to get dirtier and dirtier without even knowing it. What we need is a foot washing. It's not that we're not saved or sanctified, but we're beginning to get dusty. All mucked up with dust and stuff. Clinging to us. What we really need is a revival. But I think we need a foot washing before we can have one of those. I have wondered, why are we not having revival? Why are we not able to... for the Lord to come in this place and to do a great thing. And we just had revival and it was wonderful. We need a life-changing revival. Oh, some of you aren't going to like this. It's called music. What do you listen to? I used to listen to a lot of country music. Some of you still do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, if you listen to very much country music, you hear a lot about drinking and somebody getting shot, getting out of prison. It's not really that good if you think about what the words are saying. I don't know what kind of music you listen to. I could have picked 100 different things and some of you would have understood exactly what I was saying. Now, here I am at the end of the day. I've seen lust. I've seen flirtation. I've heard some music that I really didn't want to hear. Pornography on a man's arm while I was getting ready to eat. And I can't get out of my mind because it's filthiness. And there's the sinful lust in man that just sticks in your eyes. It's not always men. You women are not any different. I mean, it could happen to you. Tattoos. You ask me why did I pick all those things? It just popped in my head. Things that I've had experience with recently. Now, we're holiness people. We're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we wonder why we're not gaining ground. We wonder why we're having trouble winning people to Christ. If we don't get this stuff off of us. Jeff, let me tell you about Jesus. What do you see, brother? See a lot of stuff, right? If we're not careful, we'll carry this stuff around with us. Not even meaning to. And we'll begin to get used to it. Where a tattoo with a naked lady doesn't mean anything. Oh, I've seen that. We're sitting at home flipping channels. Oh, bad word. Oh, didn't even hear it. Have you seen what's on some of the TV stations lately? Some of the pornography. I'm just calling it pornography. Some of the things that you see on TV on regular stations. Even the newscasters are blurbing out profanity. And we're sitting there as we're trying to find out what's happening in the world. And it's going right by us. And it's gathering on us. I asked Joy on the way over here, I said, how often do you vacuum the house? And she gave me that look. Why? What are you going to say? My wife despises vacuuming and cleaning. Not vacuum, but cleaning. Dusting. Not cleaning, dusting. Let me get it right. Why? Because she's very thorough. She picks up every item on every shelf and cleans it off and dusts it. Now, I'm not saying you can't come to the house and find dust. But she does battle with it all day long. See, when we can get to the point, at the end of the day, when we come home with all this stuff on us, and we can say, Jesus, would you wash my feet? I don't like that stuff I saw today. Jesus, would you wipe my mind out of that pornography? Jesus, I don't like tattoos. There's something I've seen I don't like. Jesus, man and woman flirtation and lust and all this stuff. Jesus, would you help me? Would you wash my feet? You see, if you really understood about the foot washing and what I have learned over the last weeks about this and what the Lord has revealed to me, you'd say, let's have a foot washing. You'd say, I don't care how long my toenails are. I don't care that I got holes in my socks. I need a cleansing, washing, foot washing from the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know why we're not gaining ground? It's because we're slowly becoming part of the world without even knowing it. We are migrating into the path of the world. I'm not saying you're not saved, and I'm not saying you're not sanctified. I'm saying that the stuff is sneaking up on you like dust on a shelf, and it's time for a cleansing. We have to get to the point where we realize it. And if we can get there, you will walk closer to God. There's something that I tried to think of a name for it. And I'm going to pick on the pastors for just a moment. Again, I'm going to call it a pastor filter. A pastor filter. What is a pastor filter? Well, this is my interpretation of it. When you meet a pastor, most of the time, he's going to be dressed up. He's going to walk a little bit differently. He's going to talk a little bit differently. You're going to know right away that he's a pastor. He can't help it. God has a call on his life. God has set him in a certain way. He just is different. And I love it. I respect it. I wish I had more of it, as one of them songs says. But here's what happens for the pastors. When you walk into a place of the world and people recognize you as a pastor, you're not going to see all the stuff that some of the rest of us will see if we don't have our pastor filter on. I'll tell you that because not long ago I was working with a gentleman. He was coming in doing some air conditioner work. And I didn't say anything to him about church. I didn't ask him where he went to church. I didn't do the normal stuff that I do. I just wanted to see the real person. And it wasn't long. He was making comments about this pretty girl. He was making ugly remarks. And I couldn't stand it. So I had to start talking to him about Jesus a little bit and kind of working my way in there. But I have a lot of people, and I'm not suggesting anything to you or not, but because of how strong I believe in Christ and my relationship with Him and how I want to spread the gospel, I have a lot of people will come up to me and say, are you a preacher? I said, not yet. Not yet. Well, you sure you're not a preacher? No, not yet. I said, but I love the Lord with all my heart. Not yet. I haven't closed that door. I never will close that door. That door may never open for me. But I'm still going to walk. I'm still going to talk. And I'm going to be where Jesus wants me to be. And I'm going to say what Jesus wants me to say. If you put on a Jesus filter, or a pastor filter, let's put it that way, we'll say a holiness filter. How about that? Because some of you may not even want to go to the pastor thing or the preacher thing. Let's call it a holiness filter. If you'll put on a holiness filter, you'll begin to see conversations change. People that were speaking ugly language, people that were doing things, when you walk up, they will begin to talk differently. But see, you can still tell because they'll get ready to say that word that they were going to say, and there'll be a slight pause and they'll change it. That's out of respect for who you serve and who you are. Holiness filter. Now you may say, well, that doesn't happen to me. Check your holiness filter. You might need a foot washing. Check your holiness filter. You might need a foot washing. If you don't look any different from the world, you need to change something. We're not making strides out in the world like we should because people are having difficulty seeing the difference between us and them. We have to be Jesus to the people in the world. Well, I'm not sure what time it is, but I'm going to go ahead and close. Before I close, do you need a foot washing? When you leave here this evening, I want you to really think about it. Do you need a foot washing? Do you need to have Christ? Do you need to just have a conversation, a prayer with Christ and say, Lord, there's some things in my life that I'm not part of, but that I have grown accustomed to, and I'm tired of it. It's not what you want me to do. It's not what you want me to be. It's not what you want me to have. I want to be more like you, a servant, willing to do whatever it is you call me to do. We're only here for a short time. Only here for a short time. I'll go ahead and close with prayer. Father, Lord, lean on me is what I have done this evening, is lean on you. And Father, I pray that somehow in the words that you have spoken has touched someone's heart. Lord, let us examine our lives. Help us, Lord, to see the things that are unclean that we're tolerating. Help us, God, to be what you want us to be, holiness unto the Lord. Father, we need to get back to a clean people. We need to get back, Lord, to being set apart, set aside for your work and for your glory. God, that your kingdom would come. Oh God, let us be found busy about doing your work. And Lord, let it not be hard to find us because we would be shining with the light of Christ in our hearts. God, now we pray this evening that you would bless each family here, bless each home. Father, I hope they take this message to heart and take it home with them, Lord, and do some cleaning, the kind that they need to do. And God, we pray that you would bless this message and bless each one here and bless our church and touch us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.